Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Yeah, a cold, windy one.
I see you were adjusting your microphone.
Yes. I got my real radio studio here.
That's right. You have real microphones?
And neither of us are remote. We're actually here.
That's true.
And here we are approaching, not quite in the Advent season, but approaching it. And
coming,
I think we have, what, about 6 weeks till Christmas? Or five or six weeks till Christmas. And
what do you get me?
You haven't decided yet.
Wow, I already have yours picked out. Okay.
You have it delivered to my house? But
it all depends on what I get.
I feel like this year we really need to spend some time talking about the birth of the Messiah. There's so much weird stuff going out around in the world about, you know, well, first of all, I can't talk about Jesus, but interestingly, the European Parliament just passed a bill that you're not allowed to say anything bad about the Prophet Muhammad. But you can say anything you want about Jesus, but you can't say anything bad about the Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah.
And,
protected class.
Yeah. And I think that, we really need to get, well, as we always say, need to get kind of back to basics. And one good way to get back to basics is to start with our friend John the Baptist.
He's a wild dude.
He is a wild dude. He's one of my favorites, though.
He's the forerunner of Christ.
He is.
In all seriousness.
Amen.
The forerunner of Christ.
And he's the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. He's kind of the bridge gap because, in many ways, he's the last, well, he is the last prophet because he prophesies about Messiah coming and then says, there he is.
Yeah.
points to him. And, he looks like Elijah with the wild hair and the wild outfit. And he's kind of in the wilderness preaching like many of those old prophets were. But he's really preaching the New Testament message, and he's really pointing out Messiah, showing his way in. And as we're going to see, it was prophesied that a messenger was going to come before him. And this is why to this very day, you know, in Passover, when they're having the Seder, they set a place for Elijah because it says that Elijah's going to come before the Messiah. But anyway, So John the Baptist is this really fascinating character who, and I guess I might as well make my joke now. You'd like to go listen to him and you'd like to see him, but you wouldn't want to have dinner with him.
Why not?
Well, because I'm not that crazy about wild locusts and honey.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You're missing out.
Man.
You're missing out.
And if he said, you want something to eat, I'd say, man, no, I'm going to go over to the Wendy's. I'll be right back.
Well, they have fried locusts in the wild.
And when he went to a restaurant, he didn't even have to look at the menu. He just said, bring me some locusts.
Give me some locusts and honey.
How's the honey today?
Yeah.
And he liked the locusts when they were extra crunchy. So
extra crispy locust.
Yeah, so that's pretty bad.
So anyway, now that we know that you don't like his diet.
Yeah, and as we get into the Advent season, you know, we'll do, of course, there's a lot of awesome passages in the book of Isaiah about the coming of Messiah. But we're going to start in Matthew chapter 3. And we'll give you a chance to open your books, open your Bibles, or flip your phone, or flip your iPad, or whatever you do to get scriptures anymore.
Not if you're driving.
You know, now when you go to church, you don't know if somebody's fooling around with their phone or if they're just looking up readings in their phone.
You know, that's true because I will look at my phone and I will look things up for the Bible.
Yes.
And people go, what are you looking at your phone for?
Yeah.
I'm not checking my text messages.
You're not on Facebook or anything.
Nope.
So let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And Steve, why don't you read Oh, I don't know. Maybe 1 through 12. It kind of gives us the whole story of what he's going to do.
Okay. In those days, John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that your favorite. At that time, Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire."
Mm. Wow. So, interestingly, it starts out in those days. You know, it's always, God always has an appointed time for things to happen. You know, the feasts of Israel were called the appointed times. We call them feasts. God called them the appointed times, the Moedim. And, you know, as Paul points out and Matthew points out and I think the other evangelists do, they always talk about things happening in the fullness of time. So the time had come for Messiah to be shown. So the time had come because the gospel was about to be proclaimed. And in essence, it's the kingdom is at hand, as John the Baptist is going to say. And Jesus starts his ministry saying it's the kingdom. It's time to repent because something was going to change. We don't really know much about his childhood. We know in Luke's gospel that his father Zechariah was struck dumb when he questioned Gabriel, and because he was kind of old and his wife Elizabeth was old, and he said to Gabriel, "Well, I don't know about how things are in heaven, but down here, when you get to be our age, you don't generally have babies." No, he didn't say that, but just paraphrasing what he was thinking. But then, of course, he was struck dumb, and you all know the story. So we know his parents. And we know he grew up in the hill country of Judah, which is the present-day area of En-Karem, which is really, really hilly. And it's kind of like even Jesus. We don't know much about his childhood. I mean, we know about his birth. We don't really know the chronology of the stuff that happened right after his birth. Right. And then we have a story when he was 12.
Yeah.
And then we don't know anything until he's 30. So there's these huge gaps of time. Mm-hmm. Where we don't really know what they were doing or how they were being raised and so forth. But John kind of comes in at a certain time because this is the time where it says in now in those days. And he starts to preach in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because his father, Zechariah, was a Levite priest. And, you know, the vision he has of Gabriel is in the temple. When he has this unfortunate encounter with Gabriel in the temple. So he's a Levitical priest.
He didn't believe him.
Yeah. No. But yet John, who would also be a Levite, was not a priest, did not go to Jerusalem and, you know, work in the temple at all. Didn't even go back to his hometown and work in the temple at all. In the ministry, I should say, at all. He started to preach in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of unusual for a Levite. But he had a very important function in the sense that at this time, he was to announce the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the one thing as you're talking, there's not a lot that's recorded about the youth of Jesus.
Right.
You know, there's, we know about his birth. We know about his, the flight to Egypt. We know that, you know, Mary and Joseph had to protect him. But then there's the account of when he's 12 years old and he's in the temple. And, other than that, it just says that he grew in age and wisdom
mm-hmm.
and was obedient,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, gosh, today that, I mean, your Facebook page would just be empty. Be like,
yeah.
Man, what's happening in your life?
Yeah.
I haven't posted anything for a couple of years, like almost 30.
Yeah.
So, we don't know a lot about the, you know, those years, but John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ. He is there, as Isaiah prophesied, a voice of one crying out in the desert. And he's preparing the way of the Lord, making straight his paths.
Yeah.
Because the King of Kings is coming.
Mm-hmm.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming. And, you know, when a dignitary comes from another country, you make a smooth path for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
red carpet.
Red carpet. Exactly. You know, you're gonna put up barriers so that there's not big crowds, that they are not blocking the streets, so they can
uh-huh.
get through and they can move easily.
Good point.
John the Baptist is doing this. He's
yeah.
there, he's there proclaiming the message of the kingdom, telling people repent for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is at hand. It's about to, it's, you know, soon you're gonna see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are coming to him, they're being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, and there wasn't anything like this before.
Right. Yes. This is the kingdom breaking into the world.
Yeah.
In a very specific time,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. And for those of you that think the Old Testament's boring and that we don't need to really study it, if we go back to the prophet Malachi chapter 3, he says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me."
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1. And then it goes on to say, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, this is a very profound messianic prophecy that says, the Lord you seek is coming, and there's going to be a messenger that's going to prepare the way. So as you point out, Jesus isn't just going to suddenly appear and say, I'm the Messiah, and let me start telling you a few things. The messenger comes first.
Yeah.
To kind of roll, well, kind of not really like rolling out a red carpet, but the same idea.
Yeah.
And getting people ready. And people kind of knew the time was near because, you know, way back at the end of the book of Genesis, when old Jacob is dying.
Right.
One of the things he says is the Messiah is going to come when the scepter is removed from Judah. In other words, there's not going to be kings. There's not going to be a government that Israel is going to be in charge of. And
right.
under this time, they were under Roman occupation at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So people kind of figured this out from prophecies, from Malachi, from Genesis, that the time of Messiah was close. And this is why a lot of people went out to see John thinking maybe he's the Christ.
Yeah. So there was a high anticipation.
Yeah. I mean, they ask him, are you the Christ? And he says, no.
Right. Yeah. There's a high anticipation. They were looking for the Messiah because they, as you said, they were, you know, through their own discernment, they're realizing, wow, these things are coming to pass.
Yeah.
The time is close.
Yeah.
Where is he at?
Yeah.
And so they're looking for him.
And there hadn't been a prophet for 400 years.
Yeah.
Malachi was the last prophet in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's a
400
long,
years.
That's a long time.
Yes.
There was never, was there ever a gap that long in the,
no.
you know, since there were prophets?
No.
So, you know, what would have been like, you know, going through those 400 years?
It's a time of silence.
Yeah. And like, okay, there's no prophets. What's happening?
And interestingly, and if we have any Jewish listeners, I want you to think about this. Because I've often mentioned this to many Jewish friends that I've witnessed to over the years. There has not been a recognized Jewish prophet since Malachi, which is now, you know, 2,400 years ago.
Yeah.
And I say, well, if Messiah has not yet come, why have there been no more prophets? Why was Malachi the last prophet?
Yeah.
And that's really a kind of, I think, a profound question.
It is.
Because you would think if Messiah was coming, you know, 20 years from now or 50 years from now, 100 years from now, over all these last 2,000 years, there would have been a lot more prophets.
Yeah. Yeah, God hasn't stopped talking or communicating.
Yes.
And, you know, as you were saying, you know, if you think about it in these terms, if there's something coming up, like if we're doing a Gift of Grace ministry event or something like that, we would announce it that something is happening so that people can come to it.
So both people could come.
So both people can come to it, yes. So they're not left out. So, but if anybody has anything that they're doing and they want people to come to it or they want to tell people about it, they'll make an announcement.
Yes.
Well, John the Baptist is making a really important announcement.
Whoa.
A huge, big announcement.
In a very powerful way.
It would be like, you know, a news alert.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. In a very powerful way.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, as you pointed out. And it happens. It's interesting that he starts his ministry in the wilderness of Judah. You know, Jesus starts his ministry in Galilee, which is like the backwoods, middle of nowhere kind of place. And so the new covenant starts out in a wilderness, just like the old covenant did. You know, the old covenant, even the books of the account of the creation was written by Moses when he was in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
So the old covenant actually starts in the wilderness, and the new covenant actually starts in the wilderness too.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And the important thing to point out here, and, you know, this is a matter of grace, and we can talk about this, but you all know what I'm talking about. As he points out, and as Jesus points out later, what you need to enter the kingdom is repentance.
Yep.
You have to realize that you're a sinner. You have to realize that you're defective. You have to realize that you've transgressed the law at so many different levels. You can't even count them all. And you have to understand that you're broken and you have to repent, as opposed to the person who goes to the Lord and says, well, here I am. You should be happy I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
After all, I'm a pretty important person, and hope this isn't going to take very long, because I got a whole bunch of meetings I got to go to today. Because, you know, you got to come to the cross broken. You come to the Messiah broken when you realize who you are. And John points this out because he preaches to the common people first.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he doesn't start preaching in Jerusalem. Jesus doesn't start preaching in Jerusalem. And he says, you know, you have to repent. You have to have metanoia, because the kingdom is at hand. The Messiah is here. And so he's the last of the prophets. He's this transition character figure. So it's a, you know, he says the kingdom of heaven is here. He's not talking about a new kingdom of the world. He's not talking about, oh, pretty soon the Romans will be gone and we'll have a different kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom of God, whether the Romans are there or not.
Exactly.
No matter who the ruler is, no matter who your earthly ruler is.
Right.
If you're in the kingdom of God, you're in the kingdom of God.
Exactly. And, you know, one other thing that he says here is he tells the Pharisees and Sadducees to produce good fruit as evidence of their repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So what, I mean, that speaks a lot, that speaks volumes, because John the Baptist is saying, it's not just enough that you repent,
mm-hmm.
or that you say you repent, or that you believe, now produce the fruit. As a tree produces good fruit, so too should our disciples of Jesus Christ going to produce good fruit.
Yeah.
You're going to produce different fruit, because if you're going around, you're sinning, and even though you don't know you're sinning, it's still a sin.
Yes.
There's some people today that try to say that, well, if a person doesn't know it's a sin, then if they don't know that they're sinning, then it's not a sin. God knows it's a sin. Our ignorance does not cover us from that. But he's telling them, you have to change. You need metanoia, as you would say. There's a change of heart. So this repentance that he's preaching and they're being baptized in is to wash away the old self,
mm-hmm.
and put on the new man.
Yes. And change the direction of your life.
Yeah. You're making a drastic change now.
Yes.
You're going in one direction. The Messiah's coming. You don't keep on going to that, you know, in that same direction because the Messiah is at hand.
Yes.
Kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes.
He's present. You turn and you follow him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look, turn and look and go, oh, okay. And then go back your other way.
Yes.
No, you follow him.
Exactly.
Your whole life is going to change.
Yes. And that's the sense of the Greek translation that's there. And speaking of the Greek translation, it's interesting too, where it says in that verse that he came saying, the Greek literally means that it was a loud, startling, penetrating voice. It was a kind of thing that would indicate everybody's got to wake up because now the kingdom's here.
Mm-hmm.
And we can still say that today. You got to wake up because the kingdom's here. We need a startling voice like that even more so, or just as much now as they did then.
Yeah.
Even in the church.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many people that are sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were reading that, they immediately used the excuse, well, we're children of Abraham. So who do you think you are, you know, telling us stuff? We're children of Abraham.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the same thing in the Christian church as well. You know, I've been a Catholic all my life. What are you trying to tell me? Or, hey, my father was a pastor and his father was a pastor. And so what we're trying to tell you is that stuff doesn't matter if you haven't repented.
I've been a music minister at this church long before you were here.
Yeah, that's right. And it's our equivalent of saying, well, we're children of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not talking to some Samaritan or some pagan here. We're children of Abraham.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you know what? That's not, that doesn't cut it. That's not an excuse. That's not a justification for what you've done and for the idea that you have to repent of what you've done, because repentance is the entrance into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
There's no entrance into the kingdom without repentance.
Right.
Because you can walk around.
Very true.
You can walk around using the Christian talk, Christian language. I mean, you can talk about Jesus. And everybody says, wow, he talks about Jesus. That's pretty cool. But we can't see somebody's heart necessarily when they're talking about Jesus. We don't know what they really believe. Right. God could see their heart. We really can't see their heart.
True.
But if they've never repented of their sin and repented of what they've done, they're not in the kingdom.
Very true. Very true. I mean, and if you do that, you're not going to produce good fruit.
Right.
So, you know, the way that you know that somebody has encountered the Messiah or has repented is because they changed their life.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do the things they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a conscious effort not to do those things anymore.
Yeah.
It's not like your old habits are just going to go away. They die hard.
So instead of hanging out at the bar, they're at the Bible study? Is that what you mean?
Exactly. They may want to go to the bar, but on the way back, they go, no, I've got to go to the Bible study. No, it's a sobering call because a lot of, you know, you have to have works.
Mm-hmm.
Because works are an outcropping of your faith.
Yeah.
They're an outcropping of the love that's poured into your heart through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know,
we're saved unto good works.
Yeah, if you're a bitter person and you're unhappy and the love of the Lord grabs a hold of you and he changes your heart, you're going to be a very happy person.
Yes.
And the love of the Lord is going to be in your heart. You're going to start doing things differently.
Yeah. And most of you listening could probably identify with that.
Yeah.
And interesting too, I was just going to mention, I almost forgot. John starts talking with this startling loud voice to wake people up. And his father was struck dumb and couldn't say anything.
That's true.
It's you know, we never understand how God's plans work. But I think right now his plan is that the show's over. I can't
it
even
is.
Believe
yep.
it. Is that the music already?
It is. He's saying,
I'm just
Steve,
getting wound
you're
up
out
to
time.
Talk about John the Baptist. Well, anyway, I guess I have to do that next time. I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as John the Baptist called the first disciples to repent and produce good fruit of evidence of their repentance, so too shall we produce good fruit as evidence of our repentance. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.